Hi, it's Ali here, Salon Director from the Head Gardener in Inverness. Talking about cancer is never easy, but unless we're open and honest about it, how can we learn from each other and most importantly, support each other? Personally, I love this podcast. Every so often, there'll be a little nugget that will just smack you in the face and you just think, whoa, right, that resonates. I think Penny is an amazing storyteller. She's utterly honest and yes, sweary, but cancer makes you a bit sweary. I'm really proud to be the sponsor of Lump and I hope you get as much from it as I do. But don't forget to like it, rate it and share it. And over to Penny.
Exit. It's weeks since I've swum in the loch. The weather has been wild and the water choppy and uninviting. I seem to have lost my appetite for it. The grey slide towards winter echoes my slide towards redundancy. But I've promised myself this slow motion tumble will stop as soon as I stop work. I promise myself on the day after I leave the BBC, regardless of the weather, I will climb into my wetsuit and wander back down the track to the shore and swim. Reset. 2 days before I leave the BBC, a card arrives and a box. For Monday, the card says on the back. So I obediently, immediately push it away, relieved. The box remains taped and closed. I'm not good with this stuff. I'm less than not good. I'm dreadful. After 15 years of working with me, my team are familiar with my pathological aversion to fuss. Back in May, they sent me a card and extremely generous gift voucher for a local gallery for my 50th birthday. "We know you will say we shouldn't, but we are anyway," I was told. I often think I must seem incredibly ungrateful. I'm not. It's the opposite problem. I find I'm all too easily overwhelmed by such gestures. They make me cry. And this year, in the wake of all that's happened, tears are even closer to the surface. My skin is thinner. I'm too fragile. I'm dreading my final day at work. In yet another bizarre deference to COVID, my final day takes the form of 3 Zoom meetings. I wrap up 25 years at the BBC, sitting in the spare room, swapping memories and stories with the many colleagues who have become my good friends. It feels ever so slightly like attending my own wake. People say lovely, generous, heartfelt things, which make me squirm with embarrassment. I'm deeply suspicious, I tell them. People always say nice things after someone dies, always sing their praises. This has a distinct whiff of being buried alive. "Tomorrow you'll be slagging me off something rotten," I laugh at them. "You'll be having an obituary." I talk too much, soak up as much time as possible in a bid to stop them saying how much I'll be missed. Finally, at the end of the 3rd Zoom meeting, we say a last farewell, and each person leaves the meeting, one by one, switching off their camera, until it's just me and Heather, my line manager, who holds me with her gaze, and I finally give in to all the tears I've been trying to keep in check. I wish I could give her a hug. She's been utterly amazing these past few months, unwavering in her support. I couldn't have asked for more or better. I tell her I'll miss her, and she assures me she'll be back on the phone, sharing all the gossip within days. Then, with a wave, we click and leave. The predominant feeling is just of silence, like a roaring sound that suddenly switched off. Curious that I didn't hear it until it was gone. I delete the final few files, write an out of office for my email. Then I drive to the BBC building in Inverness. Red and white warning tape marks a do not cross line 2 metres away from the empty reception desk. Arrows on the floor indicate a one-way system, guiding you safely through a building locked down and curiously quiet. I resist the temptation to visit my old office or say a final farewell to the folk up in the newsroom. There are too many ghosts here for me to linger long. Instead, I place the laptop and my phone, along with a note of thanks on reception, put two large boxes of chocolates in the kitchen area, and I walk away. The next morning, regardless of the lack of work or routine or anything ahead, I'm up at 7 to get Bea awake and out of the door for school. It's a glorious day. The sun pours down over the hills opposite, dazzling as it bounces off the surface of the loch. I pull on my wetsuit, and I can't help smiling at Bea's appalled look as I head out the door alongside her. She's picturing the life-scarring utter embarrassment of the possibility of my wetsuited form being seen by any of the other pupils on her school bus. "I have to run, I'll be late," she shouts, then shoots off down the track, desperate to meet the bus before I appear. I don't need an excuse. It's a delight to dawdle. Badgerlands above me is on fire in the early sun. I pause and take a photograph, loving the fact that I don't have to rush back to the spare room for the Tuesday morning team brief. I hold the idea in my mind of the machinery of the BBC, all those cogs and wheels still turning, still whirring, without me there peddling. It's such an all-consuming line of work, disproportionately so. You overcommit. It took me a long time to realise that in spite of all the passion and humanity packed into its walls, the BBC, like most organisations, doesn't really care. It can't afford to. It's a place bursting with people who want to matter. But if the walls came tumbling down every time someone who mattered left the building, there would be no building. And we do all matter, just not in the way we might want or think we need. As I slip my shoes off down by the shore and throw my towel on a rock, I allow myself the small indulgence of lingering on my team member Phil's comment yesterday. "I know you always say everyone is replaceable, but you're not. No one will ever replace you. No one will bring what you bring." And I glow in the warmth of his words as I turn and wade into the freezing water to swim. Lump is sponsored by Ali McRitchie and the fantastic team at the Head Gardener Hair Salon in Inverness. Without them, it simply wouldn't be possible. So a massive thanks to them for all their support. If you like Lump, make sure you tell the team when you're next in the salon and they'll give you a free gift. Coming up in the next episode. At no point in my imagining did my definition of myself include even the thought that I was a person who could get cancer. But I did get cancer. And it was so unexpected, so out of the blue shocking, that I feel I don't quite trust anything I held as true before that precise moment. Lump is written and presented by me, Penny Stewart, and produced by Adventurous Audio.